From the City of Angels off the Pacific Ocean, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie. This is Coast to Coast AM. Open lines this hour. And next hour, Will Hart, a journalist, believes that we were genetically engineered by visitors, not of this planet. Next hour. Very important email that came in from Sue in San Diego. Need some help from those of you who listen to us on Kogo out in San Diego. She says, George, what the heck fell in the ocean by San Diego? The military were out in full force looking for what fell in the ocean. The news choppers were kept away from the area, and nothing was said about this incident on the local news. Do any of your listeners know anything about this incident? So I throw that out to any of you in the San Diego area. If you have any idea of what might have been going on out there today, check in with us when you get the West of the Rockies phone number or the wild card line, and I'll give those numbers out in a second. Now, you know, over the past several months, we've been talking about the strange disappearance of three ships in the Middle East out that way, and we believe that they may be owned by Al-Qaeda, Osama bin Laden. Now, listen to this story. Comes out of the United Kingdom. Osama bin Laden may have a terrorist navy of now 15 ships. And Scotland Yard has warned that one of them could sail right up the Thames to the attack on Parliament out there in London. The vessels, capable of carrying lethal chemicals or dirty bombs, could also ram cruise liners, oil rigs, or enter ports on missions of destruction. A private memo has been sent to police chiefs out there. A ship insurer, Lloyd's of London, is said to be helping MI6 and the CIA trace vessels bought by Al-Qaeda from a ship, from a Greek shipping magnate who links to bin Laden. The memo also states that some of the agents have been asked to help in the search. The report says it has obtained its intelligence from maritime agencies. This is what it says. Al-Qaeda has reportedly taken possession of 15 ships, forming what could be described as the first terrorist navy. The ships fly the flags of Yemen and Somalia, where they are registered. They are capable of carrying lethal cargoes of chemicals or a dirty bomb. Vessels flying flags of Senegal, Liberia, and the Caribbean island of St. Vincent are also under suspicion. The ships are believed to be in the Indian or Pacific Oceans now, but with 120,000 vessels worldwide, they say the chance of finding them is pretty slim. Unless you use some of our own satellite technology, then maybe, just maybe, you might be able to find these. The head of the United Nations Nuclear Watchdog Group says that the world could be headed for destruction, just what you want to hear right now, right? If it does not stop the spread of atomic weapons technology, which has become widely accessible. In an opinion piece written in the New York Times, Mohammed El-Baradi wrote that nuclear technology, once virtually unobtainable, is now obtainable through a sophisticated worldwide network capable to deliver systems for producing material usable in weapons. He went on to say that the supply network will grow, making it easier to acquire nuclear weapon expertise and materials. Eventually, he says, and inevitably, terrorists will gain access to such materials and technology, if not actual weapons. If the world does not change course, we risk self-destruction. Meanwhile, the Federal Commission investigating the 9/11 attacks will soon ask President Bush former President Bill Clinton and their vice presidents to testify in public about possible warnings that they might have received from U.S. intelligence sources before the attacks. "We need them to testify," says former New Jersey Governor Thomas Kean, the bipartisan commission's chairman. He goes on to say that their cooperation was crucial to the commission's work, so he hoped that they would at least consent to private interviews from the panel, if not public. Bill Clinton has previously said that he would be willing to testify. George Bush said in a television interview last week that he might consider speaking with the panel. A British Airways flight from London to Washington, D.C., that's been canceled or delayed several times now, has been canceled once again over security fears. Meanwhile, in its weekly law enforcement bulletin, the FBI warns that terrorists want to smuggle bombs on planes, simply saying that if they cannot hijack the plane, they'll blow it up. Hopefully, they'll be overpopulated areas. And it sounds like it's a lot of terrorism today, but believe me, there's some other stories eventually. We'll get to them. An American soldier has been detained on suspicion of trying to sell information about military weapons to Osama bin Laden's al-Qaeda network. The suspect, identified as Ryan Anderson, he's a National Guardsman based at Fort Lewis in Washington in the state of. He was held after a surveillance operation. Apparently, he may have gone onto the net to try to contact al-Qaeda. In Pasadena, California, the Mars rover Spirit finally got moving again after an interruption caused by cold weather. I guess you could call it cold weather. And controllers figured out how to finally drive its twin Opportunity so it won't slip on the sloping Martian terrain. They're pretty pleased about what's going on right now. Eventually, with regards to Spirit, the sun warmed its motors and they were able to resume working, enabling NASA to order Spirit to resume its trek. It covered about 79 feet. However, there continues to be real puzzlement about what's going on Mars. A new close-up image, and it's on the Coast to Coast AM website under Hot Stories. First story there. A new close-up image of the Martian surface reveals more of these tiny objects that have been puzzling scientists for several days. Researchers reiterated that they just don't know what process created these spheres, but that they don't think biology is involved. You take a look at these pictures on the Coast to Coast AM website. They look like the tops of white mushrooms. Each sphere is about the size of a BB, very small. The Opportunity rover has photographed them on the sandy soil at its landing site and embedded in rocks at a nearby ledge. You can take a look at those pictures. There is a flying object flying around the International Space Station, and it could be unidentified. It could be, because U.S. and Russian space officials still don't know what it might be. It's 20 centimeters long. They think it could be a strip of soft material, but they're not sure. But it's floating around the International Space Station, and they are just baffled what it might be. A strain of bird flu, which is devastating to commercial chicken flocks, but not harmful to us, has spread into Pennsylvania now, and more cases may be found in Delaware. This disease was also confirmed in four small poultry markets in northeastern New Jersey, a state which has had this disease for a dozen of years and does not have any large commercial flocks there. It's called the H7 avian influenza in three states. Now, it is a different strain from the H5N virus that has devastated flocks in 10 nations in Asia and killed some 19 people so far. So no need to panic on that one yet. Speaking of birds, I get this email in from Ed, truck driver, and he says, "George, I remember a few months ago that you had some people call in about giant birds of prey. I'm a truck driver at a large oil and chemical refinery in the southeast of Texas. One day on a job site, I noticed something that I really couldn't believe that I was seeing. It was a gigantic bird. Gigantic. I noticed that it was at a substantial altitude, and to give it a size comparison, I'd say that it was the size of a Cessna aircraft. It's very like, by the way, what we had reported near Alaska. I watched it glide for about 5 minutes until it was out of sight. Not once did it flap its wings. I don't think this area is really known for birds of prey, except maybe for owls, which makes this even more of a strange occurrence. I know this is thing was extremely enormous, and I just hope this information helps. Well, Ed, I hope it does. If anybody still sees that huge bird, let us know. Here are the phone numbers. West of the Rockies, 800-618-8255. And again, anybody in San Diego, if you saw what might have fallen into the ocean or why military was out there, let us know. East of the Rockies, 800-825-5033. First-time caller line is 818-501-4721. And the wild card line is 818-501-4109. And welcome back to Coast. We'll have open lines for you this entire hour. West of the Rockies, let's get started. You are on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, George. This is Tim calling from L.A.
Hi, Tim.
How are you?
Wonderful.
Great.
Wonderful.
The reason why I'm calling is because I asked this question in the chat room this past Tuesday, and I wanted to know if you were president of the United States of America, and you said that you would expose information, I guess, of the existence of UFOs, but you said there's some things you would keep top secret. What would you keep secret?
Well, if I told you, then they wouldn't be secret anymore.
I mean, like, would you say, like, what happened in San Diego, what it was, what landed in the middle of the ocean?
If I were running government, I would keep things secret that had the utmost of, I think, national security at stake. In my definition, Tim, of national security means things that protect you and me and our children. You know, that's national security. There are things, obviously, that happen in government that need to go on that we don't all have to know about.
Right.
But the things that I would disclose, you know what? We need to know about UFOs and whether they exist. We need to know if there's some kind of technology out there that would better mankind. I would disclose things like that.
And at the same time, you would disclose the John Lear question, too, correct?
The John Lear question, of course, when he chatted with Art a month or so ago, was full disclosure. I would have full disclosure when it came to that. I don't think American people would panic if they knew that there were visitations from aliens from another world. And if for some reason we were being visited and it was for evil purposes, let's say they were using us for their own technology. Maybe they,
right.
You know, as you look at the old Twilight Zone movie, To Serve Man, maybe they were using us as material to eat for crying out loud. I think we have a right to know that. I do.
Right.
Especially if we're going to end up in somebody's casserole. But I would. Thanks, Tim.
Thank you very much.
First-time caller line here on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hello, George.
Yeah, where are you calling from?
Charlotte, North Carolina.
Well, welcome to the program. What's up?
The reason I'm calling is I was calling about the old hag syndrome.
Yeah.
I had recently, I mean, because of your show, I found out about that.
You mean you didn't know about her until then, huh?
No, I originally tried to call y'all before about the dream interpretation,
mm-hmm.
and I never got through. And then your show from, you know, a couple weeks ago when you were talking about it, and you described the dream, I was driving down the road. I literally froze and drove off the road. But, I mean, I've been having that kind of dream for about 6 years now. And it's followed me where it's originally started. I slept at a friend's house, and that's when I had the dream. I was, you know, dreaming. I was in the room I was sleeping in, and from that point, it kind of followed me from every place that I've moved to.
How do you know it's a dream and not really happening?
Well, that's the thing. I don't. It feels, you know, it feels like a dream, but you know, it's, I don't know. It's not sleep paralysis, because I've actually since your show, I've looked into that, and I've actually talked to quite a few friends of mine, and they have similar experiences as well.
I bet at some time in one's life that all of us have had, not only sleep paralysis, which does happen, but I bet we've all always have had, too, the old hag syndrome. I think that's happened to all of us.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like a common occurrence. My roommate said she's actually had the figure climb in bed with her, which is really eerie.
Well, and that happens a lot. We get a lot of stories about the old hag doing that. You know, just sitting on top of people and just one ugly, ugly person. I mean, if you ever wake up to her, run if you can. The problem is you can't. You're paralyzed. Oh, well. Let's go to our wild card line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hello, George. Good evening.
Good evening to you.
I got Bob here from, I'm calling from Grants Pass, Oregon, going to Medford, Oregon. I've just had the most unusual thing I've ever seen in my life, or how can I explain it? I talked to four truck drivers as they're going north. I am turning around at Grants Pass, Oregon, and going south. So every night I look for them, they look for me. The second truck that I saw, I go, hey, how you doing, Lee? He goes, hey, Bob, how you doing? And we talked for just, for a short on the CB radio, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. Then, not more than maybe a minute and a half, maybe 2 minutes, 2 miles, another Walgreens truck. I thought it was another driver called Wade. And I go, hey, Wade. And I figured it was him. He goes, no, this is Lee. I go, well, I just got through talking to you. He goes, yeah, we just talked a minute ago, didn't we? I'm telling you, George, I'm freaked out.
Are you guys, like, going through some kind of time warp or something?
I know you don't believe in coincidence.
No, not at all.
I know, but what else? I'm blown away. Absolutely blown away. And I had to share it with you and everybody else that it really, really happened. And if I can ever get a hold of Lee, I'll have him call you because he is blown away going that way, and I'm blown away going this way.
Thanks for the story. Thanks for sharing it. East of the Rockies, you're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hey, George. It's Sean in Washington, D.C. How you doing
tonight? I'm fine, Sean. Thank you.
Excellent. I just wanted to voice basically a little moral support for Richard Hoagland, who, I don't know, I'm guessing he's probably listening tonight, given the...
always does.
Always does, and given tonight's subject. So, I hope he hears this and takes... I know things have been a little rough on him lately, but... You know, looking at that website, now not all the pictures am I seeing what perhaps Mr. Hoagland would like me to see.
I understand.
But in particular, the shuttle, that picture, which is a little, it really looks like almost exactly like the little shuttles on Star Trek.
Little toys. Yeah,
your little toys.
Yeah, they do.
It's got two. It looks like either windows or eye holes on the front of it, and symmetries just keep emerging the more and more that they analyze that photo and use the Photoshop or whatever their technology is on it. And there are only two types of structure that would show that kind of symmetry. One would be biological, and the other would be artificial. And in that object,
And either way would be exciting.
Either way would be incredibly exciting. And the angles that I'm seeing in there, nature doesn't like, angular structures. It builds round things and bumpy things and that sort of stuff.
Have you seen the pictures of these small spheres that I'm talking about on Mars? The
little spherules?
Yeah, have you seen those?
Yeah, those could be. Those look very biological to me.
They do to me, too. Look like they could be some kind of fungus, some kind of a mushroom-type cap.
Yeah, Yeah.
Real little ones, but they just look strange.
There was also that thing with the ears or the horns or the plant,
yes,
or the Martian rabbit or whatever.
That's the one Richard said we crushed.
Yeah, we crushed. Oops, it might be alive. Let's run over it.
Let's get it right now in the rub. But no, you're right. You know, Richard has had a group of professional scientists go after him for some of the things that he has said. And we are getting closer, I'm told, of getting a debate between Richard C. Hoagland and Philip Plate. We tried to get a hold of Philip Plate today, and as you know, Richard stands ready to debate. And if we do, we'll give you fair warning, because that should be one heck of a coast-to-coast program. I shall be the referee in the show, and try to keep things as balanced as I can. But knowing my luck, I'll be against the ropes, and they'll both pound me. I'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast. Open lines all hour.
Can't believe what you're hearing? Listen to it again when you sign up for Streamlink at www.coasttocoastam.com. It's only 15 cents a day. Talk with George Norrie. Call the Wildcard line at area code 818-501-4109. The first-time caller line is area code 818-501-4721. To talk with George toll-free from east of the Rockies, call 1-800-825-5033. West of the Rockies, toll-free at 1-800-618-8255. International callers may reach George Norrie by calling your in-country Sprint access number, pressing option 5. And dialing toll-free 800-893-0903. From the City of Angels, this is Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie.
Zooming in here, Will Hart will be our guest at the top of the hour. The Genesis Race, that's the name of his book. He believes that we all have been genetically altered by people, things, beings that aren't from this planet. That'll be at the top of the hour. After Dark Newsletter, there will be an end eventually to the free CD offer. One of Art Bell's interviews with the late Father Malachi Martin, this one on exorcisms. It's yours right now, free, when you subscribe to the After Dark Newsletter, which is a monthly newsletter, and it's great. The February issue is out. I really enjoy it. I mean, they've got great stories in there that make you think. And then you can always go to the internet and try to do some of your own research on just some of the stories that you find in the After Dark newsletter. A couple ways to order and get the free CD. One is, of course, right on the phone, toll-free, 1-888-727-5505. The other way is right off the coasttocoastam.com website, safe and secure. When I return, open lines. By the way, our Friday show, just to kind of whet your appetite a little bit, falls right on Friday the 13th. So I'm going to have a guest for a bit. We're going to talk about superstitions, and then we're going to have full open lines for the rest of the night with a special line opened up to those of you who might have superstitions. That'll be on our next Coast to Coast program. Let's go back to the phones. Wildcard line, you are on the air. Hi there. Hello.
Art?
I'm not Art, but I'm his distant cousin. Hi, how are you?
Hey, this is EJ in San Antonio. Hi, with EJ. WAI.
Sure thing. How are you?
I'm doing great. I like to just throw this out, and would probably dovetail into what your guest is talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And that is one of the reasons why that they may not be full disclosure is the fact that they may have evidence that we were genetically altered. Because if you look at the logical process or progression of man, there is a missing link, and no one has been able to explain why or where. There's no skeletal remains or anything that could kind of like link the Cro-Magnon man with, I think it was what, the Neanderthal man.
Mm-hmm. You're very close to what the guest is going to talk about. But why not full disclosure if that is indeed the case?
Well, I think it would probably be because of maybe religious implications. And the fact that there might be a thread that it may offend some people.
Mm-hmm.
You know how the, I hate to say it, holy rollers or whatever you might want to call them, might be that they're so strict as far as what is said in the Bible. And that could probably cause, there may be a fraid that it might cause some, what's the word for it, chaos. Or, I think that might be one of the reasons that they're reluctant to have full disclosure.
Well, I tell you what, it couldn't be any more chaotic than it is right now on this planet.
Well, that's true,
you
too.
Know what? Things are out of control as I speak. We've got problems all over the place.
That's true, too. But, you know, I would say that if there are advanced races, that they could really come down and just do pretty much whatever they want to do. But then again, having seen some things that on the scientific channel, that are actually have lasers and was actually using, and even this journal that Art happened to interview, I think it was Saturday.
Yes.
And so that gives me, or I have some suspicion that not all the species that have been visiting us, or if they have been visiting us, are actually friendly.
No, there's no question about that. I mean, just the fact that some kind of a species could evolve millions of years ahead of us does not guarantee the fact that they're good guys by any means. I mean, they could be as violent as we have been in our history. They could be worse. They may have been fortunate enough to survive. They may be dominant in the galactic wars. Who knows? But you're absolutely right. Just by being advanced does not guarantee that they're more humane, not by any means. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Let's go to our West of the Rockies line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, yeah. My name is Fred. I'm from Centerville, Utah.
Hi, Fred.
I thought I would share two things with you. One about the whole thing about us being genetically altered by beings from another planet.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, who's to say God isn't, you know, the ultimate being, and he didn't, you know, set the universe in motion, and then when he found a planet where he found a suitable animal had evolved, he didn't alter it enough to use it for his intentions.
Well, and, you know, in whatever God is to you or to anybody, it's entirely possible that it started that way.
And then the other thing is something kind of interesting about identifying, like, if you're visited by some sort of a spirit or something, how to identify whether it's good or not. This is, I'm going to read you a little short passage from section 129 of some of the LDS scriptures, the Doctrine and Covenants.
No scriptures.
Oh.
No, we're not reading scriptures on the show.
Okay. But you are right.
I mean, you were talking about evil spirits and good spirits. I mean, you've got all kinds.
Yeah. What it does is it talks about in there, and if you're visited by a spirit, it says that if you hold out your hand and ask the spirit to shake your hand, if it's a good angel, then it will shake your hand and you'll be able to feel its hand. But
what if it's not?
If it's not, then it will reach out and try and shake your hand, and it'll just go right through. And then you know that that's devil. And
yeah, and probably try to pull you right into wherever it may be. Here's my take, by the way, just so everybody knows. I have no problems with you talking about events that occur in the Bible as they relate to whatever the topic of the day may be, but I don't want you reading scriptures. I mean, that's not what this show's all about. If you want to talk about things that are there, if you want to talk about Ezekiel's wheel and you think it's a UFO, or there are or specific things in that wonderful book that you want to talk about, I have no problems with that. But I don't want you quoting verse and things like that. That's just not what the show is. There are other programs for that. First-time caller line, welcome to Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. What can we do for you?
I'm here to give you some great tidings.
Well, good. Where are you from?
This is Mark from Vermont.
Uh-huh.
We were visited approximately 64 years ago. Okay? The people of the planet Earth.
By whom?
I cannot pronounce their name, sir, because I was abducted 8 years ago.
By whom?
They would rather not have us call them a name.
All right, let me rephrase the question, Mark.
Absolutely.
By what?
Have you ever seen the pictures of what Betty and Barney Hill saw?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, they were correct, sir.
So we call them the Greys.
Okay, that's fine. Okay. They are from 250 billion light years away, is what they told me.
Okay.
And our planet is now going through a cleansing process. They are closely monitoring this. Keep an eye on your quartz, your magnesium, and your selenium. We have not been genetically altered from what they've told me. We may have suffered a cataclysmical radiational exposure to a giant rock that threw out the dinosaurs forever and ever.
When you were abducted,
yes.
Did they ever explain why they abducted you?
Absolutely.
Are you going to share that with us?
Absolutely. They have in their plans for the planet Earth, and I'm sure this is going to be a milestone broadcast, because I wasn't even going to turn the radio on tonight.
See, there are reasons for everything.
Absolutely. The only thing I can tell you is that, as I'm sure that you know, that you're interested in telekinetic powers.
Mm-hmm.
Those are going to increase in humans in the next 4 years. And I hope that we use that wisely.
Well, I hope we do, too, because if we ever do get those kinds of powers on a massive scale, we better use them wisely. But sometimes I'm just not sure, not sure at all. So have they left you alone, or do they continue to come in?
Absolutely.
Well, what? They've left you alone, or they continue to abduct you?
No, I was abducted once.
And that's it? They've left you alone?
They are monitoring all of us.
Well,
and it might sound like a wacko idea, but this is real, folks.
I tell you, there were never any wacko ideas. You just have to decide if it's really happening or not. Who knows? West of the Rockies, welcome to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, George. This is Lynn calling you at the KST 650 in Sacramento.
Sure. Hi, Lynn.
Hi. I was wondering, and get back to the scientific part of the genetic change. We took my son in recently for a CAT scan because his head is a kind of larger than normal, and we were afraid that maybe it was, you know, hydrocephaly or something.
Oh,
like,
yeah,
that.
How old is he, by the way?
He is going to be 10.
Okay.
But what they found was that his brain is larger than average, and I'm just wondering if maybe we're just taking a leap in evolution at this point, and that's been hardwired in, maybe into our genes at this point.
And they said it was larger, not swollen, but just larger than
larger than normal.
But they find it to be okay.
Yeah, and he's got behavioral problems, but he is a genius. So, you know, maybe things need to work out down the line a little bit to get things right, but he reads in the high school level. He he does math in his head that I can't do in a calculator.
How do you think this happened to him?
I just think it's something that will happen more and more frequently to most kids. I think that this jump in ADHD treatments that we seem to see out there is just the kids are getting, they're changing. And, you know, it's just like any change. There's bumps along the road.
Well, if they're changing this quickly, it's going to go very fast. Normally, these procedures will take thousands and thousands of years.
But I think that if you look at the readings that you can find even in scientific journals, that there's always a jump somewhere along the way where there's, you know, where the evolution takes a big jump, bigger than normal.
You don't think you were genetically altered, do you?
No, I just think that the human race as a whole has little timelines in it, you know, that you reach over the thousands of years of evolution. And that when you hit one of these timelines, then you'll get a large jump. I mean, look at the way that, you know, humans have increased in technology over the past 200 years. All of a sudden, ideas just keep coming and coming and coming.
It's almost too fast.
Exactly. And it's like you were saying that you're not sure if something like this did occur, if, you know, the changes would be violent in nature or whatever, if we could handle those. I think that that's kind of what's going on, is that they're happening so fast that we just don't have any way to control them at this point.
All right, well,
best we can.
Make sure you listen in on our guest who's coming up here in about 10 minutes or so, because he's got a phenomenal theory about extraterrestrial DNA and our real true origins. Let's go to our international line. Where are you calling from? You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi there. What an honor to be on, and love your show.
My pleasure. Where are you?
Ray, I'm in Vancouver. My name is Phil.
Hi, Phil.
Listening to C-Fun.
Yes, sir. What's up?
Oh, I know you love coincidences and
or non.
Yeah, and you know, I was looking at the Book of Revelations and chapter 13, verse 18, or chapter 18, 13.
No verse. No.
It talks about the number of the beast.
I know.
And anyway, I think it's chapter 18, verse 13.
The three sixes.
Or the other one, but if you multiply 13 and 18 together.
Oh, come on. You're going to make me do that?
You got 234.
All right. I'll trust you.
And if you take 234 and add the reverse of it, which is 432, you get 666.
What does this all mean, though?
Well, I'm thinking that some people are very into symbology.
Yeah. The whole thing with all that is I think that there's indeed a code there somewhere. And I don't think, though, you know, you talk about the Bible code and the stories like the Da Vinci Code. I don't think we have really broken the code that happens to be there. Let's go to our wild card line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi.
Yeah.
Oh, it is you, George. This is Barbara. I'm calling from Kansas City, Missouri.
Hi, Barbara. Yes, it is me.
Yeah. First of all, thank you so much for what you do. This is phenomenal, and I've gotten so many of my friends and colleagues to listen in. But very quickly, what I wanted to say was, in reference to genetically being altered, some of the books that I have read state that apparently one of the reptilian races have scrambled our DNA. They haven't removed anything, thank God, because that would have permanently altered our abilities to do many things.
Mm-hmm.
But they scrambled them enough that it's created what they call the veil, where most of us do not have the psychic abilities that we were meant to have. And the reason that they did that was to control us. It's part of the enslavement process. They allow us democracies and to rule ourselves so that we think that we're free. But in fact, they're just kind of playing with us. And from what I understand, I think some of this is from Barbara Marciniak, that the reason why the reptilians haven't totally destroyed humans off the planet is that their future, as is the Pleiadians, is tied in with the present right now, and they have been forced to come back in time to deal with us because they cannot progress any further, and that there is information that is recorded in our bones, and they do not know how to how to access that, so they won't get rid of all the humans. They will get rid of a large percentage of them, but they can't get rid of all of them because their own future is tied in.
Well, you know, and if you believe and listen to David Icke, who's been on the program a couple
yes.
times now, he believes that some of these reptilians that you've described are already here.
Oh, yeah.
In the shape of some human beings running around controlling a lot of things. It's kind
yes,
of scary.
They are.
I mean, I found myself, after talking to David, looking at people to see if their eyes changed on me.
Yes. In fact, oh, I'm glad you mentioned that. I had a sealing ceremony when I lived in Las Vegas by Elizabeth Clare Prophet, and she invited everyone to come up, and she had a large emerald matrix, and she said that she would seal our third eye to protect us. And I had always thought, because I was still early in my development, I had always thought, well, gee, you know, I thought you needed that third eye. But I had read so many of her books and so many of her tapes, and I thought, well, she must know what she's doing. And so I went up, and she was up on the dais with her back to the audience, and you would stand in front of her, and she would put this emerald matrix over the third eye. Now, as I was standing there, and, I mean, we were close enough we could have kissed, and I realized, it's like, gee, her eyes look just like mine, which are blue with some green, a little bit of yellow in them. And I closed my eyes, and I opened them while she was talking, and it was, to this day, one of the scariest moments I've ever had. Her eyes were green-yellow with black slits going up and down like a crocodile.
Or a snake.
Yes, and it frightened me. I can't tell you how frightened I was. And I closed my eyes. When I opened them again, her eyes looked just like mine. I went back to my seat, numb, and I sat there through the rest of it, shaking, thinking, what on earth have I done? And I would talk to people, and they'd say, oh, you know, I've never heard of that. You know, that's kind of ridiculous. I went to the very first Whole Life Expo in L.A. that year, and I had been reading some books on crystals by Dale Walker. And afterwards, I talked to him about the situation, and he said, well, I'm doing some sessions tomorrow, and he gave me the address of this woman's home where he was staying, and he said, come in and let me see what I can do for you.
Well, let me tell you something. You might have had a reptilian there. Those slit eyes, they'll do it to you all the time. I'll be back in a moment with our guest, Will Hart, the Genesis Race. It could be us.
Sign up for StreamLink at www.coasttocoastam.com. And you can hear tonight's show over and over and over.
Do ever time.